So we look at that, and of course we condemn the Pharisee and say that that's awful. But if we're honest with ourselves, which of those two people do you think we would relate to more often? I think many times it's the Pharisee, isn't it? Because we too could look at ourselves and say, well, yeah, we're kind of a cut above a lot of people. You know, none of us is in jail tonight. We try to keep the commandments. We give our offerings. We read the Bible. We're in church. What could possibly be the problem? On the other hand, look at the sinful woman. Not even given a name. Probably because society had abandoned her as a lost cause. She might have been a prostitute or some other guilty of some other sin which put her in that category of sinners. And look at her behavior. You know, so bizarre in the eyes of others. She bursts into this dinner party the Pharisee is holding, unannounced, uninvited, and obviously distraught. She stands at Jesus' feet just sobbing uncontrollably, huge tears dropping down on Jesus' feet. She wipes them with her hair. She breaks open an alabaster jar of expensive perfume, pours it on Jesus' feet. And why? The Lord tells us. She didn't speak a word, as far as we know from the text, but her actions spoke a lot louder than words. Her tears especially. Jesus said she loved much. She recognized her sin. I mean, she saw the looks people gave her. She noticed how everyone else would walk across the street when she came down the block. But her greatest sorrow was that she had sinned against the Lord who loved her. We know what that's like. All of us have been guilty of it. In a moment of anger, frustration, you say something calculated to hurt someone you love, your husband or wife, a brother or sister, a friend who's always stood by you. You blurt it out. And no sooner than you fire that verbal assault on someone and you regret it because you can see the hurt in their eyes, how it did wound them. And you thought when you said it, it would give you some satisfaction, but it doesn't. You wish you could take it back. Well, how much more then is that the case when it comes to our sins? Because every one of them is a sin against our Lord who loved us. A few minutes ago, we heard Peter's reaction in the courtyard of the high priest. He denied Jesus with oaths. And then the Lord looked at him and he crumbled. He wept bitter tears, tears of love, because he too regretted, was sorrowful that he had sinned against the Lord who loved him with an everlasting love. During this Lenten season, it's a good opportunity for us to look at ourselves, as I mentioned before, to compare ourselves and say, well, who do I relate to? Where do I fit in this account? So ask yourself, am I a $50 forgiven person or a $500 forgiven person? Simon the Pharisee didn't think he really had much to be forgiven of. And it showed. He didn't go out of his way to show Jesus even common courtesy. Well, think about our lives. Don't we often do the same thing? I mean, how far out of the way do we go to read the Lord's word or to hear his word? Isn't it often sometimes just kind of, if we have time, it's convenient, then we make time for the Lord? But it's really not the top priority every day of our lives. We know the Lord tells us to love our neighbor. And there again, isn't it often half-hearted? Well, does that reflect a low level of love on our part then for the Lord? Simon needed forgiveness as much as anybody, as much as that sinful woman as well, but he didn't think he did. And so he didn't appreciate the Savior who had come for him. The woman did. So there's a time for tears. May we too then look at ourselves, our own hearts, our own lives, And instead of trying to defend our sins, excuse them, rationalize them, may we simply come with tears before the Lord and confess all the sins to Him. You know, spiritually, stand at His feet and just confess it all, even the ones we're not aware of. Do you ever do that? When you're confessing your sins at the end of the day, say, Lord, I can think of many, but there are many more when sure which I'm guilty of, which I don't even know that I've committed. Confess those too. Because there is a time for tears for those who love the Lord and recognize their guilt before Him. Also, though, among these tears of this woman are tears of gratitude. She must have heard Jesus preaching at one time or another, or at least someone told her what Jesus had said, because if she had thought that there was some doubt whether Jesus would forgive her or show mercy to her, she wouldn't have come. If she thought that Jesus would be like the Pharisees, who would simply tell her, you're a lost cause, you need to completely transform your life or there's no hope for you at all. If she thought Jesus would tell her that, she wouldn't have come. She came trusting that Jesus would show her mercy. And He did. He said, your sins have been forgiven. Go in peace. Think about that. Your sins have been forgiven. A done deal. Already accomplished. So there was no extra things the woman had to do. No question about whether she was good enough. The Lord simply said, your sins have been forgiven. And how could He do that? Well, the people wondered that question. How can this man forgive sins? Well, Jesus could, because He's the one who reconciled the whole world to Himself. We love because He first loved us. The height of love is being willing to sacrifice oneself for someone who doesn't deserve it in any way. The Bible story that came to mind was David and his son Absalom. I'm sure you remember it. Absalom was the vain son of King David, thought he was the greatest person who had ever been born, felt that he deserved to be king, convinced the majority of Israel, apparently, to follow him, declared a coup, drove his own father out of the palace, out of Jerusalem, would have killed him if he had the chance. But God saw to it that David's forces won the victory. Absalom ended up being caught in a tree by his flowing locks, and he was killed by David's general, Joab. When the word reached David, if you didn't know the story, you'd think that David would be ecstatic, that he would reward his servants, his soldiers, praise them for their bravery. But he didn't. Instead, David just fell into a depths of despair and mourning. Absalom, my son. Oh, Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Absalom, my son. Hard to imagine. But David loved Absalom that much. Well, that's the kind of love which Jesus has. We're God's enemies. The Bible makes it clear. When we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us, for you and for me and for the whole world of sinners. He was willing to give up His own holy life. He was willing to suffer hell so we wouldn't have to. There is no greater love than that. And that's the love then which creates and prompts love in our hearts. In this woman's heart, gave her the confidence to come before the Lord Jesus and simply confess her sins and receive His forgiveness. And Jesus tells us too, your faith has saved you. By faith, we're joined to everything that Jesus accomplished. His obedience is our obedience. His payment washed away our sins. The prophet Joel, or the Lord through the prophet Joel, says this, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. There is a time for weeping and a time to laugh. And we, like this woman, take the time to come before the Lord in sorrow for our guilt. May we come before him and confess our sins and come trusting in his mercy. And then the Lord will say to us too, and does in his word, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen.